Steve Foreman, talked to me after our noon meeting at the South Seminole group of Alcoholics Anonymous. Steve, at this time, had been in a program for only about 4 weeks. Steve asked if I would help him by writing a recommendation for Clarence Snyder for the Jefferson Award. Steve reached into his pocket, pulling out a letter saying that the station had gone to the library to verify that Clarence was the first to break away from the Oxford group and was indeed thrilled over the idea that a person of such stature should live in our community. I held up my hands and asked if indeed Clarence would be selected as a recipient of this award. Would it not follow that he would have to break his anonymity at the level of radio, press, or film? Steve said, "I suppose so." I then talked to him about our tradition of anonymity, and as such, I could not allow myself to become a part of this. Steve then told me that Clarence doesn't mind. In fact, Grace put him up to it. He said that he must have put his foot into it. Does it mean that the AA community will come down on him? Besides, it's too late. It had been submitted. I suggested that he contact another person in a fellowship, like someone in our intergroup office, Marie, our manager, or John Van, our trustee. Another person was standing close to us, so I suggested to Steve that he ask him about the impact of such a deed. This other person was Don Flynn. On the way home, I stopped at the intergroup office. Fortunately, John Van was there. I told him about the above experience and that I didn't know what, if anything, should be done about it. A couple of days later, John Van and I talked over the situation. After rereading the comments in AA Comes of Age, Tradition 11, in the 12x12, we both agreed that even though this would be a violation of our traditions, it would probably be best to do nothing. We reasoned that he may not receive the award. This would then be a moot question. Also, Tradition 11 talks about Tradition 10 talks about not getting drawn into public controversy. We thought we could do more harm in our relations with the media than good by taking a stand. A week or 10 days later, the person who talked to Steve, that was Don Flynn, told me that he had talked to the people at the station, telling them about our tradition of anonymity. He said that the station people were not impressed and were going ahead anyway. On April the 9th, 1979, a Monday morning, when I walked into the South Seminole meeting, and this is at the Mental Health Center of Alamont Springs, Grace Snyder approached me, showing me a medal in a case. This turned out to be the Jefferson Award. I don't remember what she said, but she called my attention to the medallion. I tried not to be rude and at the same time not to be part of it. I nodded and took a seat. Bob Jackson sat next to me and said, "Clarence, last Friday night, accepted the Jefferson Award for," and this is the best quote I can get, "being the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous." That Wednesday afternoon, I met Andy Anderson at the intergroup office. He said that he heard Friday night's program, the program of 6 April 1979, that he saw Clarence accept the award as the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. A follow-up to the Jefferson Award took place on CBS Channel 6 Orlando at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, 10 April 1979. The following is a an audio of the program.
Microphone. Have you got it turned off at the microphone or is here?
It's here. On. Go ahead, plug it in.
Stop. We feel privileged, very privileged, to have Mr. Clarence Snyder as part of our community. We present him with a Jefferson Award of the American Institute for Public Service for his contribution, not only to the people of Central Florida, but to the innumerable lives throughout the world who've been touched by the efforts of this man and Alcoholics Anonymous.
Nothing ever happens to a rummy but what he has to talk. I tell you one
thing. It's no accident that Clarence Snyder talks about himself in what seem to be harsh terms. He's an alcoholic. He's also stayed sober for more than 40 years. At 76, he's been a member of Alcoholics Anonymous longer than anyone else. He's still carrying the message that AA can help. And it was Snyder's own style and enthusiasm that brought many into the group. One of them, an area businessman, told Bob Glascoff what Snyder's appeal meant to him.
He represented to me something that, on a plane of AA that I was looking for, not that there are difference between AA members, but the man had a charisma and an old type attitude about him of getting back to the basics in life as to what AA is, and he is that way. He is an old AA type person, referring to God and the Bible, and I remember that at the meeting that I was attending that he was of that manner, and I wanted to find that and seek out what he had.
At home, Snyder speaks freely and philosophically about his condition, a conversation which gives insight into the man's character.
I'm an alcoholic. I'm not just an ordinary drunk. There's a lot of drunks that are not alcoholics, but every alcoholic's a drunk, but there's some drunks that don't have sense enough to be an alcoholic. An alcoholic is a type of individual. I've learned this over the years. We are emotional people, and we do everything by emotion. When we come to the point where we're going to quit drinking for good, we have to do it on an emotional scale, too. We can't do it by common sense. The alcoholic does not respond to common sense. I have had $1 million worth of good common sense and advice given me while I was drinking, but it never did me any good. I finally wound up a bum.
That was the story of the 1930s. By the end of that decade, though, Snyder wasn't a bum. He and 14 others collaborated on a book telling their stories. The book's title became the name of a new organization. Now his quiet Castleberry home is lined with testimonials to his work. It's a work that never ceases, even as he makes an acceptance speech for an award commending him for his lifetime of service.
In this community here, we have better than 80 meetings a week right here in Orlando area. Just think of that. And this is the way it's gone all over the world, and it continues to go. So if any of you have any problems with people you work with, people in your family, I know no one here has problems of their own. But if you do, get with us, and you'll have an entirely new life. And maybe someday they'll do this for you. Thank you.
I understand that one of our people did go to the station and heard the video of this program the Tuesday afternoon before the showing. The program was already in the can, and it was too late to make any changes, even if they wanted to. John Van called Lou Mobley, North Florida area delegate to GSO, updating him on the anonymity break. Lou was contacted once before by John Van after learning of the anonymity break, but before the actual presentation. Lou Mobley called John Van back and told him that he contacted, I believe the name is Don Pierce of GSO. Don told him that he would contact CBS. On the 12th of April, 1979, I called the station, that is Channel 6, to see if I can obtain a copy of the letter of a nomination. I was put in touch with Nikki Sarner, S-A-R-N-E-R. She said that in this case of Clarence Snyder, she could not release the letter because the businessman who nominated him wanted to be anonymous. A couple of days later, I called Nikki Sarner back and asked her if it's anonymity she was concerned with. I can very, very well respect this and appreciate her position. Could I not then come to the station and have her cover the signature, the letterhead, and just let me see what the letter says for correctness of contents? And she then said that she, in her own good conscience, could not do this. If I could get a letter from Steve or from Clarence, then she would look upon it differently. Also suggested who the station's lawyer was, and that this would be an infringement of source. One afternoon, while I was in Intergroup office, I believe it was Ann who received a call from the newspaper, the Metro. It's a small advertising newspaper out of Castleberry, and they wanted to know if we, Intergroup that is, had a picture of Clarence and what his telephone number was. Ann told them, no, we did not have a picture, and no, we could not release the telephone number. Try the telephone book. And that's where that one stopped. As it stands, nothing was ever done by Intergroup to stop Clarence from receiving the Jefferson Award. I believe no one except the person who contacted the station, called in their attention to an anonymity break, and one person who went to the station the afternoon before the program was aired, did anything to stop him receiving the Jefferson Award. I think it's a good idea that Intergroup didn't get involved, lest they be involved in creating controversy at the level of press. The people at Channel 6, like any other television program or station, could be our friends. We may need them later on. I, Joe Harkwitz, make record of this for history's sake, because we didn't get enough intelligence.
If you don't, there's one behind the coffee.